comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. For those of us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week my husband Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information that we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show, we're going to be talking about or investigating suicide. And so if you would like to call in with a comment or a question to Gregory, we'd love to hear from you. It's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. And also Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, we'd love to hear from you. It's not toll-free, unfortunately, but it's only a quick call. And that's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi there. My name is Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistsfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we have to offer you, please go visit our websites, and the first one is www.spirit-teaching.com, and then we're also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I'm deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never really realized were available to us, perhaps. Now, when I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back again. I have a kind of a out-of-body experience, and sometimes I remember where I've gone, and other times I don't. Sometimes they might take me to a little room, and other times I might be some other place that I can't quite decipher. It doesn't really matter where they take me, because that's not the event. What the event is for me to have that complete out-of-body experience so that I don't actually know of anything that is happening in the physical world. And that's how it should be, because we wouldn't want the thoughts and feelings from my mind getting in the way of the spirit contact, because the contact for this program has to be absolutely pure, as it is for any of the other work that we do for spirit. And on that note, I'm going to hand you over to Sylvie. Have a great show, everyone. Goodbye for this week.
Thank you, Mick. Gregory Hay, who you will be listening to very shortly, was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s, if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group. And they were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet, to aid us on a road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet, hopefully with the information that they can bring, that they can help us to do that with the methods and the through the educational system that they bring to us, really. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists, and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box, and to explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet, and of course those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. So, as we say, if you would like to join us with a question, our subject today, we're talking about suicide, and probably we're going to be talking a lot about mass suicide as well. So, but anything to do with this subject, if you would like to join us, if you would like to ask Gregory a question or join in with the discussion, do phone. The number is toll-free in the US and Canada, 877 in the US. This is 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-9756. And international callers in the UK, it's 001-530-876-3222. But you do have to call for that one, pay for that one, and call for that one. Did you like that, Gregory?
Yeah, a little conundrum solved.
Ah,
well,
wasn't
friend.
It? Yeah.
Yes.
How are you?
Perfect, thank you.
Good.
Always perfect.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so, well, looking forward to this show, because I know it's deeper than... because we were going to talk about mass suicide in particular, weren't we?
Yes, absolutely so. And mass suicide doesn't only include a mass of people, I believe it's more than three, who are taking their own lives or have consented to their own lives being taken en masse in a group setting. It's also to do with people who singularly commit suicide themselves, but, however, are arranged within a group of people, not necessarily people who actually know one another, but rather maybe know of one another, and in this very strange light of appearance. We try to address this situation, so perhaps helping others who just plainly cannot understand. Perhaps it may be that these are people who have been left with the resolution of such decisions taken out of their hands, really, by their loved ones who commit themselves to this act.
Okay. Where would you like to start?
Well, really, we feel that we should begin there.
Okay.
But because it is a topical situation,
mm-hmm.
there are, at this current time, I understand, a series of unexplained situations, decisions, shall we say, coming about, bringing about within a small group of young people, within one particular area of Wales, I understand it is.
Mm-hmm. And, in England, that is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have actually been beset by a group of young people who have teenagers, I believe you would call them.
Mm-hmm.
I was a teenager myself. So I understand a little bit, perhaps, even from my perception that comes from so many hundreds of years ago, at least I am aware of perhaps some of the thoughts and memories of those times as a person, a young person within this situation. And I can understand the vulnerabilities, perhaps, that for some children can be in the offing as to why they may make such a decision. First of all, my friends, that we have to say, none of these young people, and this is true of every single situation of suicide,
mm-hmm.
contrary to popular belief or myth,
mm-hmm.
it may well be lauded that by some way of religious book that this such a conclusion to life is something that is designating that soul to some evil purpose. or that it is in some way inherently evil itself. In fact, of course, against many specific religious understandings and civilization, suicide is treated as possibly one of the greatest situations, that of your own self-decision, that someone could possibly make, and is, in a sense, actually the only actual law against which no one has ever been prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it,
mm-hmm.
How can you possibly prosecute a corpse? You can't.
True. Yeah, never thought of it like that.
So, in this respect, it means to say that having a law against suicide means that it's a complete travesty of what a law could be, because you cannot have a law which says that this is illegal and then fail to prosecute one case.
Okay.
That's something for you to think about, isn't it?
Mm.
However, we are well aware that the laws on suicide exist as a deterrent. So say that perhaps then for someone who tries to commit suicide and fails, it means then it gives a society the right to withhold that person's freedom and try to readjust that person's conscious thoughts and settings in order so that they will actually not think about that any longer. Actually, I have to say that there are different ways in which people bring this upon themselves, that is, try to commit suicide, and whether they are successful will depend upon the degree of urgency, or actually, of course, whether they what method they use, or whether they're actually wholeheartedly trying to do it, or actually really trying to do something else entirely different, like they are asking for help or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong in that at all. A bit of a difficult way of actually saying that and making that as a statement, rather a large way of making that as a statement. So it does mean to say that anyone who does this, surely the first thing that those people around that person should be saying is, we did not communicate.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe have tried to communicate with them, but actually felt at odds with the situation. I'm talking about the victim here. That the victim, quite often, in this situation of individual suicide, may often find that in their minds they have a cause and a reason for ending their own life chance. Quite simply, they may have had enough of it. They may want to go and join someone who has already committed this act, because it's like a sort of a safety in numbers issue. That it may well be that, for example, that you have a situation where some people want to actually bring about a certain condition, shall we say, that it becomes paramount upon the situation that they actually want to go and follow a loved one, a friend, or something like that. I understand that this is a part of the situation, that no pact was made, but rather that in this specific situation, other ones who were of a similar age and in that particular young people's community actually decided to take the same route. They didn't want that person to be alone. They actually felt similar voices within themselves of their disquiet about their life journey, as a statement of saying, I've had enough of this. I do not see my life is going to evolve the way I want it to. I know that this is a very sore subject for those loved ones still left and still actually reeling from the whole situation, because clearly it is that those precious loved ones who were deeply loved by their family groups deeply love, and it has traumatized them in understanding that they could not help them bring about restitution for their life. My dear friend, it has to be said that blame must not be attributed either to oneself or to the victims of this situation, as victims they surely are, just within their own thoughts, within the way in which they have brought their thoughts together and come to such a fatalistic conclusion. It's not something that comes easily. However, that for some young people, they may well be seeing this as an emotive stance of emotion, an emotive way of bringing about a statement of their life. It is to say, my dear friends, that when these young people came to our side of life, that we patted them, and that we loved them, and that we tried to make them well in their own hearts and minds, that they saw the trials and tribulations they had unleashed upon their parents and loved ones of their genetic family group, that each of them were, in fact, at the passing of each of the others. This does not mean to say that they were willing it on. They were not. They were actually there because each one of them had them in their mind. So I'm saying that one victim had in his or her mind, I believe it was one female, the hearts and minds of the others, the thoughts of the others at the point of their passing. And that this very action of their thoughts meant that they actually, because they were actually trying to stop them, the others who had passed previously, you understand, and that they were actually trying to make it so that they didn't carry out the act. So they didn't, from the spirit, from our side of life, from the spirit world, try to encourage these victims to follow their passage, the way that they ended their own life. What they actually did was try to stop them. However difficult that may appear to be on the surface, it was that each of them felt a great sense of remorse and loss at their inability to actually have an effect upon that state mind. So it is to say, my dear friend, that as each one passed, they were hugged and caressed, and none of them were blamed, none of them were thought of as an atrocity to the other.
Okay. Right, so there's so many varying situations in, I mean, very often with mass suicide, if you actually discuss, like, for instance, when I was doing some research on this, I mean, everything that came up really usually involved a religion or a cult of some description.
Yes.
This is the most common.
Yes, it's the kind of thing which actually begins the behavior, or actually is central to the behavior. If I may just a little twist here for a moment, we also have to include this, the lives of some of those who actually, before they take their own life, take the lives of many others as well. Mass killings. There have been some of young people who have walked into schools with guns and that kind of thing. And have taken many people's lives, and then finally their own.
Okay. Yes. That's a different twist to mass suicide.
It is.
I just wanted to add in that. Yeah, I mean...
That was all.
Yes, I mean, so for instance, cult suicides usually they're convinced that of a leader, a charismatic leader of some description who demands total faith and obedience and a faithful following, believing in the future, a future maybe heavenly reward and often an impending earthly doom if they don't.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They're usually using the devil in all its works and various other energies in order to back up this belief.
Yeah, whilst individual suicide can very often be linked to long-term depression, maybe, possibly. A group suicide is quite different, isn't it, in that the people are motivated and completely convinced of both the righteousness of their, say, in for this instance, theology and attainability of a goal.
Yes, usually some sort of nirvana state or actually praising them for actually coming to the gates of heaven for this deed.
Yes.
And that too, you see, is actually a situation that one could say that the whole cause of it means that you... In a sense, you are using religion as a form of aphrodisiac to that belief. And then, by doing that, that you are actually, you might want to wrap a bit of this around it, friend, and that by doing that, that you are actually then creating this source of very grilled positivity, nicely grilled on both sides, you see. Mm-hmm. There it is, whichever way you look at it, they are actually going to create this great source of understanding and positivity by acquiescing to this. And, of course, parts of the ways of suicide in this situation may also be equally as painful in respect of the way of their passing. They might shoot them all, for example, or give them some horrendous poison or something like that, even with children, babes in their arms. Helpless victims just as much as if you had put a gun to their head and told them that they were agents of the devil.
But what happens to people in this situation? I mean, is it sort of like a group psychology of some sort of, I don't know, there's some sort of mechanism going on there. It's like, I mean, there's fish that shoal and birds that flock and that. I mean, is there some sort of correlation here with the follow the leader thing against reason and sanity?
Like lemmings jumping over the cliff.
I was going to talk about lemons, actually.
Lemons?
The lemmings. Did I say lemons?
Yes, yes. I was just playing with you, my friend. Now, the point is, friend, that with lemmings, actually, it's instinctive. They don't actually know that that's what they're going to do. They just think that they're going for a swim, actually.
Really?
Yes, they don't actually realise what's at the end of it. They don't think and correlate with the fact that they cannot actually swim that far.
But don't they jump off of the end of the cliff as well?
Yes, that's right, yes. But they don't actually correlate with it because they've never done it before. No one ever comes back, you see, to tell them. But actually, lemmings themselves actually swim quite well. So they don't actually realise that what's involved, you see. For some of them, actually, they see right at the last moment and they actually hang on to the cliff.
Okay.
You will see that.
Okay. So
and then they just let go at the last minute, really, because they cannot.
All right. Well, we'll get back to animals a little later on.
Yes, I understand.
But so what happens to people in this instance, because like say for instance there's been the brainwashing situation, with the David Koresh claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus,
and there
was that where I think 39 died. Most of the people in that apparently were in their 40s and from a very wide range of backgrounds.
Yes, I understand that, but the first point to make with this was that actually that all was well when it first began. That was not actually the object in anyone else's eyes. The object in anyone else's eyes was that they believed that he was the reincarnation of Jesus. That was the fo- that was given.
Well, and the
I
other
believe
one,
that's what you call it, a fop.
And the other one, Jim Jones, he said that he went even one further. He claimed to be God.
Well, of course, yes.
So, and
but many people claim to be God. In fact, many people are. Most people are God, if you actually look at it that way, if you are looking at it not as a logical spec of what God is, but that everyone is a part of that infinite wisdom. So therefore, you could actually quite easily lay claim to be God yourself, or Goddess, is it? Or Goddess in waiting, perhaps.
Okay. So what's going on here, then?
So the whole situation, my friend, is down in part to that little old friend, semantics, and the use of words, but it is also a situation that you are looking about to do with the taking away of some individuals' rights of passion and purpose and passage. It means to say that in all of this evolutionary process, you are giving yourself away to an ideal.
Mm-hmm.
You would accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come as a human being, you decide perhaps that you are going to take on a religion's clothes in its entirety. That is, you're going to swallow the whole event. It means to say, you are swallowing the idea that someone else has put in front of you. You are looking at it, perhaps you are making rational choices, but perhaps you are maybe not. We are moving away here from the suicide aspect, but first of all, we have to understand what comes about in the rationale of fact and physical thought, and how actually thought itself comes to bring you into conclusion because of the feelings of Shwarabi, the feelings of intense personality, protectiveness, to do with the product and also the creation of fear, if you don't.
Yeah.
That's the first point to say.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever religion comes to you and says, do this out of fear for not doing it, you know that you've got a problem. And that is exactly the same whether it be Christianity or any form of it, whether it is to do with Islam or whether it is to do with any other energy or any other thought form that you have to say you wish to bring about the understanding and the unequaled rivalry of this thought, that it then becomes superior to all other thought. This is the point that I'm making here. Because in bringing about this situation, this whole selection of dualities, of purposes, that come about through this instigation of actually acquiescing to an ideal, and you say, yes, this is perfect, this is me, I divide up my life, and that all other thoughts and feelings that I had before this moment, I rescind. And this, from this moment onward, I am in this divine presence. That's, in a sense, the evocation that you make. Now, if you are a person who believes in the spirit world, does that mean to say that you are making an invocation of whole presence, that you actually are now in fear of all other religions, perhaps, because you see them as subversive to your own thoughts? That's a little different of a shoe to wear. So it means to say then that, shall we say, if you are a spiritualist, you are now looking at the whole preamble of what being a spiritualist must be entailing, so that you have to honour these rules and guidelines and all of these fait accompli, that you may not pass this passage for fear of retribution of those who are have actually these commanding rules and regulations over you. This is exactly the same practice, my friends, exactly the same. If you want to move into a thought form of religion and allow it to dominate your life, you are creating passages of fear within yourself, for if you don't,
well,
you will create this.
isn't it then when it becomes, isn't the difference between a religion and a cult that in a cult you can't leave without repercussions? Would that be then a cult? Or are you calling it all a cult?
No, I see that in all religions, my dear friend.
Because
believe
there are
me.
Some sort of repercussion in it, even if it's not in a physical way.
Yes, absolutely. If you show me a person who is a Catholic, like myself, who eventually left the whole thought form of Catholicism, quite simply because I found at the point of my passing that the Virgin Mary didn't come to greet me, that the whole situation was a sop, in fact, and a way of acclimatization for me as a physical being, when I had that physical life, that I found did not add up to the words that had been expressed therein. It means to say that by casting all others out into folds of evil, I found reprehensible, quite clearly, and were not words of God, were not words of beauty and love, but that actually love didn't really exist within it. That's what I truly found when I came to the spirit world, that love actually existed within the eyes, within the energy and the intention of people I'd never met. And they did not have to be a part of religion in order to show it and reveal it to me.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about suicide, mass suicide, and all of the situations around that topic. If you'd like to join us with a question or just join us in with the discussion. It's a free phone number in the USA and Canada. In the USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers in the UK, that includes you guys, it's 001-530-876-3222. But you have to pay for that one, I'm afraid. But it's only a quick call and it won't cost you much.
You see, really, my dear friend, what you have to look at here is the situation, the energy of thought, and these decisions that you come upon in life. If you are feeling that you are as weak, as vulnerable as anyone else, if you feel that your life is at odds with the whole rest of the planet, then it may well be that you need some kind of a religious faith or belief in order to help you to resolve certain issues. Perhaps it is that you do not see the beauties of God within all things, but that it's actually something that's a restricted view in your life. I'm not saying that any of these thoughts will create a suicide. I am saying, however, that people who allow other energies and other things to dominate their thoughts and change them and move them into ways in which they even will think about that it's all right to take their own life, to stop their own life because of some reward they think they're going to face, that has to be an extremely dire situation, an extreme detrimental situation, one that is not purely humanistic, that there are other creatures, other beings, on other planets, in other races, in other civilizations, who will actually do this as well. However, it appears to be that within this time that we are observing from the spirit world of human behavior, we are seeing more and more evidence that people are willing to go that extra process, if you like, are more willing now to commit suicide, whether it be that they have a bomb strapped to themselves or whether they are doing so willingly individually, in silence, because they cannot cope. These are still situations where people feel at odds and disconnected with love and with the situation around them?
Well, with the individual situation, with people that just can't cope and that sort of thing, through depression, let's say, the help, there would be, hopefully, I mean, there's not always, and this is a problem, help somewhere for them, even if it's a listening ear. The help in the other instance with the cult following and that sort of thing, the help that they want, they think they've got.
Absolutely. Oh. 100%, my dear Fish.
So, you know, I mean, what about the other one, the Heaven's Gate one? They believed an alien spaceship was hiding behind the Halley-Bopp comet and killed themselves in order to reach it.
Yes.
That was something that was had another slightly different twist to it. So that wasn't a... it's always an apocalypse-type situation, isn't it?
Well, of course, because how else are you actually going to get someone to move their mind enough to actually want to do such a deed? That's the point. With a mass situation like that, with the one that you have just illuminated, for example, that was an awful affair. Absolutely dire, because they were all actually seeing one another and it's taking place.
So really, all religions control the mind, and because they demand faith in their own belief system over that of others, I guess, isn't it?
Yes.
It requires some suspension of reason and critical analysis on the part of the individual.
Yes.
To a certain extent. I mean, and this might fit, and it might be quite all right, or in other circumstances, then it can be quite dangerous.
Yes, I am saying here as well, I can see that any clerics of whatever religion would be quite aghast to hear such claims coming from the lips of deceased peoples like myself.
Well, yes, but the thing is, they would probably say that about other religions that, for instance, that we're at war with.
Yes,
so it's not unusual to say that about another religion.
Yes, quite
because so. Because they all say it about each other.
In any event.
Yes.
And so what I'm saying, really, is that you can just put all of them in one bag and to say, tie the knot and say, well, that's actually something that you are all doing in the least rational situations of that kind of religion. I am not here to say that all people of those religions are then have some fault or some situation for believing in that religion. That's entirely a matter for your choice. I don't here make a judgment upon you for creating that belief system or for following it. If that is the way that actually helps you to illuminate the aspect of God within you, then, and it means to say that you are going to be a better being for doing that, then it has to be a positive effect. If it isn't, if it's something that brings out a caustic, vengeful situation about yourself, then I have to say that it denigrates that religion and that thought form. It denigrates the icon for which you claim to aspire, the acolyte form that you want to raise yourself up to admire or be like or likened in your life, will never happen if you want to take your own life for the cause of it or the lives of others for the cause of it. So take heed here, my friends, when you are soldiers at war, do not do so for the cause of your religion to be a soldier at war. There are many, many crusaders still in the spirit world who still have a great deal to answer for in the name of religion, in the name of their God that they went to fight for this fight against this army who they saw as heathens or whatever.
Well, suicide can seem to be the only way out of a problem, to maybe an individual, you know, the ultimate solution. So, and but with mass suicide, that's typically thought of as maybe rare and affecting only brainwashed people belonging to some strange belief or cult.
Yes. I wholeheartedly understand and support that. It is usually something which has an underpinning belief system, which is perhaps something that a great many other people actually voice and advocate, shall we say, that it's one specific form of religion, Christianity. Millions and millions of people are good Christians and dutifully both worship and dutifully walk in that pathway. I am not saying a negative word against them. However, within that can be created sects or dialects. They are as in different forms or permutations of language that may exist, shall we say, English. And you have different forms of English. Why, you have American English, or you have English English, or Welsh English, or Scottish English. Dialects come in different forms depending upon which village you come from. The people in Tennessee will speak completely differently to the people in Mississippi or to the people in Texas with their drawl.
But yes, and people's religions are different. I mean, here, obviously, the Christian, my mum is Church of England. She's a Christian, a regular churchgoer. And I've met Christians in America and all over different places all over the world. But they all don't all believe in the same thing or talk the same or understand it to be the same, which I find fascinating.
Yes, absolutely. So they have these little slants, usually because of the work that the pastor or that the cleric or whoever, you could say it's the imam then, has to teach them, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And that these two situations of suicide that you have cited so far were actually to do with their imam, or their cleric,
mm-hmm.
who had a vision of their own beauty and said, this is the pathway, but actually only came to the culminating point of taking their lives right at the last moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the last moment. He waited, in both cases, until they actually were there. And what is the expression that you would make? Hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. Lining and
hook,
sinker.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, yes, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that means to say that they have completely voted for this. They are confident that this person is right because they have been actually washed of sanity to create it,
mm-hmm.
to create that pathway. There is no journey back in that respect. It may even be that at the moment that it's that person's time, shall we say, to slit their throats or whatever it is, method that they choose to commit suicide, perhaps it's poison, perhaps it's whatever, that the moment just before they do that, they suddenly realize that it's wrong, but they go through it with it anyway.
Mm.
Or perhaps it's actually done to them. Then it means that it's not actually suicide, it's murder, mass murder.
Okay, what about this then? Go back to the war situation.
Yes.
Well, war is a form of mass suicide, isn't it?
One could say so if it is perhaps, perchance, that it is evoking certain situations of brainwashing, of making the fragility of life not count or not occur in that warrior's mind. You may even look, perhaps, at the gladiators of ancient times and see that they, too, had to have a form of perhaps punishment and betrayal if they did not match up to the deeds of which they were supposed to aspire to make. So you would actually have people in some situations perhaps falling on their own sword because they didn't make they didn't carry out the orders of their emperor or whatever it was, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have situations where And here's another interesting slant, we feel, to do with Japanese and to do with the commitment of harikiri. Is that how you say it?
Well, I think we say harikiri. Yeah, the ceremonial self-disemboweling of...
And beheading.
Yes.
Or rather, they usually have someone who beheads them at the last minute.
Yeah, no, that's been known for centuries of that suicide tradition, isn't it? Well, that's what they call it, a suicide tradition, I think.
Yes, a bit like wailing, isn't it, friend, really?
Well, we won't go there. But what about... And funnily enough, with the Japanese, it's interesting because they have the kamikaze warriors flying their aircraft into American warships during World War II.
So that's not a great deal far removed to people who are of Islamic belief flying aeroplanes into the towers.
Absolutely.
That happened in America.
And during that same war in Japan, the war on the island of Saipan, hundreds of trapped Japanese committed mass suicide rather than surrender to the invading American forces, which is quite interesting. That's all in the same culture. Now, is that significant?
I believe it is significant for those who actually created that and who did it, and of course that they were inspired to carry it out by the leader of that group at that time. It wasn't a selection of solitary decisions that they made, but that they made en masse.
But it's all that one culture, that one race, all of these things, you know, and going back a long, long time.
Yes, I understand that, Ben, but also equally, I have to say, I beg you to understand that there are also conditions within the Pharaoh times of thousands of years BC, when actually they too had certain conditions of their rites of passage, which meant that the workers would either commit suicide or that they were massively killed. It was as a part of their service for building the Pharaoh's tomb in the first place. Don't any of you think that the Egyptian times were something of a great wonderment?
Romantic
or whatever. Mm. They weren't. They were the tribal heresies of tremendous proportions. And there are many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people still in the spirit world who have trouble with that, with their journey of their past. They were maybe treated as heroes by those of Victorian times and afterwards, but for those people of their time, it meant many families starved to death because their loved ones lost their lives building the Pharaoh's tomb.
Well, so really what we've discussed is that mass suicide comes in multiple forms. It can also be politically driven, can't it, by dictators, for instance, as well?
Yes, absolutely so. Of course, the whole situation, for example, also you cite the Japanese, I also have to cite the Germanic people,
yes,
who were at the times of the ends of the Second World War. I understand they too, some of them, committed suicide. And this was exactly the same thing. I make no distinction between one and another. I'm saying that they are apart from the children in Wales. Mm. That was a completely different situation. And I understand, too, that there have been other similar situations in America as well, and other countries.
Of teenagers.
Of teenagers committing suicide, pulses of suicidees, I suppose you could say, where perhaps more than two or three people commit suicide within a 6 or 9 month period.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, that the teenage suicide is I haven't done the research on that, but it's actually quite high, isn't it?
Yes, it
is. So the likelihood of similar-minded teenagers thinking that, for whatever reason, I wouldn't judge why they did it, but, I mean, do you know what I mean? They're more likely to come into contact with other people that feel the same.
Absolutely so, yes. Perhaps because of the actual pull of the way in which that society is feeling at this moment in time. Perhaps they actually, as children, as young people in their society feel detached from it, perhaps because they feel they do not have a voice. The secret here is for all parents to really identify with their children, not to let them go, but to actually try to help them, try to find out how they are feeling. Have you any problems? It's a simple question. Have you any problems? And keep to that, particularly if you feel that there are some situations which are hidden away, particularly to do with pressures from their environment, from siblings, rivalry, from other groups of people within that same town, location. Perhaps they are not happy at school. Perhaps there are situations, any number of situations you as a parent need to be on top of to understand where your child is going and how to continue to nurture them in safety.
Well, would you like, I mean, just the whole situation of the exams, the qualifications that they need, the hoops they have to jump through, the money it takes them to put themselves through college to get these qualifications, and the pressure on them to succeed, and then they look around them at the mess everybody else is making, and my heart goes out to them. I would not like to be that age now myself. I cannot deny that. And also these colleges and schools must start having more counselling facilities.
A lot more counselling facilities.
Absolutely.
If they are going to have a school, shall we say, that takes large fees for their students or whatever.
Mm. Yes.
Education has a price.
Yes.
Education must include in that price counsellors, people who actually really will listen. Don't just play lip service to listening, and don't just think that by having gone through the motions that that's going to be enough.
Yeah.
It isn't.
And don't think that if you've gone down this pathway to do something like this and take your own life that you can't change your mind, because you can, and there is somebody that will listen to you.
Absolutely. Always there is.
What about, we've only got about 5 minutes left,
yes,
but what about, this is a bit different, but what about alcohol and smoking and eating all the wrong foods? Isn't that mass suicide in the long run?
What a very interesting little twist you have there, my friend. Yes, well, I have to say that perhaps for some people who, shall we say, they have various eating disorders, I would see that it's not mass suicide, but I would see that for some, they find themselves on this particular pathway and then their energy changes. Remember this as well, everyone, that when you move into a different pathway, which is away from the normalcy, or away from the energy of which you have tried to aspire in your life and brought positivity to your life, if you are doing something which is negative, and it may well be that the negative you are creating is surrounding food, you will just take that one for the moment. If you are creating a negativity surrounding food, you are then piling on the pounds and also piling on the negativity by doing that. Because the more that you create a bulk of yourself, the more unhappy you very often will become.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pretend that you aren't unhappy, in many respects, you're just fooling yourself. You are actually convincing, using psychological trauma to actually convince yourself that you are not going through this, that you are not actually discovering pain through these situations, and you are denying, very often in a state of denial, about the pain thresholds that you are creating by eating these large quantities of food, in which to, shall we say then, you are in a sense creating this bubble of uncertainty about yourself through doing that. Many people could argue, perhaps, that by doing this, it means that, first of all, you are not necessarily fully in touch with your spirit because you are not being fully positive about the role of your life. So you are using a surrogate, in this instance, food, in order to change that positivity in order to change that energy of which you feel, so that you, in a sense, feel better about yourself by the sensory perception that you have about the food that you eat. Maybe you don't actually taste the food that you eat when you do this, and that it's something that you just switch off your mind, or that you find yourself, that you are in a state of unawareness at the point of when you are actually eating and taking in the food into your system. That you are actually blanking out, that you've gone to that state of mind where you are moving away from this being a conscious decision, because you're in denial of it yourself. It's exactly the same as someone who is in denial of food and will refuse to eat. You are still making a conscious decision about yourself and in denial, in a sense, of what can create and make you better, because it makes a system, a statement system about yourself and the difference that you can create by manipulating your mind. That, in a sense, is what human beings want to do. They want to be different to somebody else and will use manipulations of themselves, whether it be diet, smoking, drinking, taking alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, to fill the hole, to fill the void which is left from contamination of thought, thinking that you are just as happy without spirit as you are with it.
Well, we've really come to time, but you just said that you want to be different to somebody else, but in the following cult situation, you want to be the same as everybody else.
I know, but that's the juxtaposition between these two mantles of oppression of mind.
Okay. All right, then. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
God bless everyone. Good day.
So we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us and our book, maybe book an Akashic reading, and hopefully you'll join us again on Monday for our next Spirit Teaching show. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.